It is good that we understand prophetically, in light of what God is doing with us, doing with this church, what is taking place in the world, and remember that it is a universal plan that God is working, not simply just with Full Gospel Assembly, but it is important to see where we fit in with the divine work that God is preparing, closing this generation, this age, this dispensation. It is coming to an end, and don't let us deceive ourselves. It is in the balance, and we at present are experiencing the mercy of God. But for those who take the mercy of God and use it and abuse it, it will eventually be the anger of God, and nobody wants to be around when God's wrath is finally falling and seen. And that even applies to professing believers, and even we in this body cannot be exempt from it. For God is speaking very clearly into areas of our lives, and there will come a time when the Spirit will say, enough is enough. And so that is why, as we heard this morning in prophecy, again, it will be a work that is by the Spirit, by the anointing. But for you to experience God's strength taking over in weakness, you have to do it His way. It is free, but it is not cheap. If you stand in your own strength, your own ability, your own thinking, your own religiousness, it will be burnt up. Let's make no bones about it. The woes of judgment are upon the religious. And God says that judgment will begin first in the house of God. And that is why this title I'm giving this morning is, the church must be purged of unbelief. The church must be purged of unbelief. And that is the message that's going out to true born-again believers. And if they don't hear this, then they will go through the tribulation. And nobody wants to be around for the tribulation. Nobody. And we're going to base this morning in Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And I want us to look into this. And I believe again the Holy Spirit will highlight and give more to this, because the nature of this book is revelatory. It's an opening. It's God teaching man at the right time, when we are spiritually mature enough, when God has done that work, He will give more. He will give more light. He will reveal to us when we're ready to receive it. And so we're going to look at Revelation 12, and we're going to start from verse 1. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. So we see quite clearly how that God first takes the initiative. God reveals, he reveals something to his people, to the church. And then the old dragon, the devil, is there trying to reveal something else to try and deceive and try and seduce God's people. That's how he always works. But God is always one step ahead, and whatever plan, whatever he's going to do, he will reveal first to the prophets, to the teachers. But we will have to accept the fact that Satan comes right behind with a counterfeit to try and trip up and deceive. And verse 4, it says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. These are all figurative images that I'm not really going to go into detail. It's all on tape. It's all in teaching. We have discussed all these things over the years. There are other things that I want to reveal this morning with regard to this. And in verse 7 it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So you need to be on at Michael's side, the warring angel, who is also teaching the church for warfare for the last days, to stand, to endure, to believe. The church must not be asleep, but must be awake, ready for the last final onslaught. As it says quite clearly here. And so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. That is why the church is weak, because they still hear the accusations of Satan. But finally he's going to be cast down. So what is the biggest hindrance to the church? And even at times to the overcomers? Quite simple. Still listening to the devil. And one day we'll get it right. And then we should be called away. Because all the while we listen to him, it still weakens the church. And the church is still held under bondage. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to death. And there's the key to it. That's what God is doing now. That is what he's doing with Full Gospel Assembly. And he will have to do it even with those who are left behind, who will have to go through the great tribulation. That principle of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, by the word, by the anointed word, and to surrender your life, i.e. the cross, that message doesn't change. We have some who still reject it at the moment, but they will one day have to receive this teaching that you're being given now. That's why you apply wisdom. Because wisdom, knowledge says, will get you ready to not have to go through the great tribulation. See, God's message doesn't change. Men in pulpits are trying to change it. They're trying to water it down. But the revelation of God's word, the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, he doesn't change. That's the point. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Speaking of the world. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That is the church that is left, the woman. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Where is the woman that is left? Where does she have to flee to? Does she flee to the prosperity message that's falsely given? To a false faith message? Does she flee to where she boasts how big she is, how powerful she is, how wealthy she is, how much outreach she has and so forth? Does she flee to all of that? Does all of that preserve her, keep her? Is that on her side? No, all that she's boasted in, that Laodicean spirit, has crumbled. It's let her down. She's deceived herself. And those false prophets that she believed in, a lot of them have been exposed for what they are. Where does the Holy Spirit force her to under persecution? The wilderness. Where are we at the moment to be found? In the wilderness. Because that's where God is. That's where true sacrifice is. That's true where true worship is. And at the moment they don't want that. They don't want to mature and grow up for that. But God says that's where you will find me, because that is the only place I can deal with the church and get her ready. The wilderness is the only place where you will start to hear God, because the wilderness makes you desperate. And so you see, to be taken into the wilderness means it is a work of the Holy Spirit. No one can survive in the wilderness. Don't even attempt it if you try it on your own, because you won't survive. The same as we know the deserts, the wilderness. No, nobody in their right minds will ever go into such conditions. And I know, because I've been out there. You won't survive a day with that heat. You will dehydrate and you will die. Now, why does God take the woman that is left, who's persecuted, why does he take her into the wilderness? Well, there's a reason, and verse 15 begins to tell us. And so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Interesting. Certain analogies with that. She's taken into the wilderness. Satan doesn't like the wilderness. It's not where he likes to dwell. You see him dwelling in Mystery Babylon. You see him dwelling in the cities and the towns. You see him dwelling where there's corruption, where there's power, where there's money. But there's not much out in the wilderness. It's barren. Very little out there. Now it says the serpent follows. So the serpent spews out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. So he tries to spew out of his mouth something that will try and attract the woman, that will try and seduce her. He's going to try and deceive those desert conditions, just like he tries to do with us. God has brought us out into the desert, spiritually speaking. But the old enemy tries to come out, just like Pharaoh's army that tried to come out to the children of Israel to try and destroy them. But God destroyed them through that rod that God had given to Moses the closing of the Red Sea. So we see a type again taking place. So the enemy are trying to revive the deserts. He'll try and seduce you in the deserts. And here he is with the woman. The Holy Spirit has drawn the woman out, taken her into the wilderness because he's going to purge her of her unbelief. And there the serpent is there trying to seduce her and cause her to be carried away by the flood, by false waters. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth, just like it took place in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. The elements, nature, swallowed up the armies of Pharaoh. So we're going to see miracles, in a sense, taking place, God's mercy over the woman that is left. And this is where I believe that the overcomers, those that have overcome now, you who will come back in great tribulation to minister to the woman, this is what you are ministering. You are coming against what the devil is spewing out, trying to deceive and destroy the woman that has been taken spiritually now into the wilderness. That is what's happening. Because she's not spiritually trained, because she has not come to that place that God is purging her of unbelief, this is the mercy of God that's preserving the woman that is left to face the great tribulation, to face the wrath of Antichrist. Here is where she's preserved by the earth. Why the earth? Because the overcomers will come back in their glorified bodies to minister on planet earth to preserve, protect the woman against the dragon. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So indeed she does. She has the testimony. She has the gospel message, but she's not gone into sonship. She has not seen the call, the baptism, which is the doorway into the deeper life. She's refused it through the outpouring of the Spirit. But God preserves the remnant, preserves the seed that she produces in her witness, her evangelism, until finally the Lord Jesus comes to rule and reign upon the earth. So we see various instances taking place with regards to the coming of the Lord. Now the church is soon to take its position in the heavenlies by the catching away. That is the next event, I believe, on God's calendar that is to take place. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, we know very well, I will just read to you, which says here, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." My friends, that is really the position and place where the church should be. But she's lost that position through sin, through unbelief, through letting the Holy Spirit go, the baptismal experience. But God's restoring that. And that will be restored by the snatching, the catching away. I read to you back in Revelation 12, the woman is with child, she has a man-child, and that man-child is ready to be birthed, and there the serpent is there trying to devour that man-child, but the Holy Spirit snatches, takes away that man-child. Where is that man-child taken to? That position that I have just read to you back in Ephesians 6 verse 12. That is the position where the church must be. Because when she's in that position, she's in a position of warfare. She's in a position where she has that authority, both in heaven and on earth. That authority is at present being restored. You are in the time of restoration where your authority, your stand, the revelation of this is being restored back, not only individually, but corporately to the church. And God is purging us in order to restore that authority. You cannot go through the back door in this. You cannot go through any shortcuts. God is doing a deep work of purging in each of us now, this present moment, this time, in order for God to restore us back into the position as is spoken there in Ephesians 6, 12 and so forth. Paul saw that. I believe this was one of the things that Paul, when taken up in the Spirit, he saw that realm and was able to speak of it. And he saw that this is the realm where God has placed the church. And that is why Jesus said to Peter, when he saw who the Christ was, he said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that confession to you. And as a result of that confession, as a result of that revelation, the church will now be built upon the rock." In other words, upon me, the anointed one, the Christ. "And I will call out a people in order for those to stand upon that foundation." What is that foundation? It is a foundation that is not only to be found on earth, but it's to be found in heaven. You say to me, "How do I know?" Because Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Paul saw that rock, that foundation, not only on earth, but also in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you're sure about this. And that is the key to this. And so, this casting out of Satan, when the overcomers are called away, he's cast to the earth. So his access to the throne of God is now being limited. He no longer now has access before the throne of God. He can no longer accuse the overcomers. He's lost his hold. So he's cast to the earth, and as a result of it, he is very angry. Because the overcomers have not taken heed to him. They have not listened to him. They have endured to the end. They have passed the test. And now the reward is they've been caught away. They now stand in position where those powers, principalities, dominions are at present. They now are the powers, the overcomers of the church. And we begin then to see all steps, operations taking place, things being unfolded, unraveled. Now, all in the body of Christ, the church, must be purged of unbelief. And not all are willing to submit to the trials, to the purges, to rid us of this unbelief. And so, because of a zeal, but a wrong zeal, which is a lack of faith, and that's what we're seeing at the moment, we're seeing a zeal, but it is not a zeal for being purged. It's not a zeal for the sons of Levi to come forth into their priesthood. We see a zeal today for membership. We see a zeal today for worship. We see a zeal today for evangelism and getting as many as we can into the house of God. But this is not the zeal that God is looking for. It's not a zeal that is jealous for the courts of the Lord. And to be jealous for the courts of the Lord, you have to be purged with the coals of fire upon the altar. And so they don't see sonship. They don't see maturity. They do not see a growing up. And that is the problem. And what is being result? Another Ishmael is being produced in the flesh. And that is why God said, "I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That is what is going to be said in Matthew 7. That is what is going to be said with the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Although, of course, that speaks of the new birth. Even the foolish virgins are born again. And I believe the foolish virgins speak of the woman that is left. They're type of foolish virgins. But what are we seeing today? An Ishmael being produced out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When God put that conception back into the church, the woman, through the outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, Satan comes right along with a counterfeit. Again, under the Abrahamic covenant, God promised Abraham that you would have an heir, a son. And God gave that son after 25 years. But we know during that 25 years of endurance, they couldn't wait. So Sarah came along and said, I've got an idea. Go in with my maid and raise up seed through her. And Abraham did. And of course, Ishmael came. He was the elder. Then the promise came afterwards, which shook them. God had meant what he said. He doesn't lie. And Isaac came. Isaac was the true heir. He was born from above. The one for the promise. The seed line. And so, of course, he was Abraham's favorite. We know the story, how Abraham was tested there. What happened with those two sons? They could no longer live together. Feud. Discourse. Both of the Abrahamic seed. But one is of the flesh. One cannot see the spiritual things. Oh, he sees enough that he's the head. And yes, being the head, I receive all the inheritance. That's as far as he can see. But Isaac can see further. Isaac can see sacrifice. How does he see sacrifice? Because he was the one that was put upon the altar. He was the one that was virtually going to be sacrificed. Notice he doesn't rebel against his father. He willingly goes on that altar, ready to be slayed. He sees something that Ishmael doesn't see. And so eventually God has to separate them. Now God's hand is still upon Ishmael. Now listen to what I'm saying, because we're going to see the revelation of this coming up. God was still preserving Ishmael, but the promise from above, the Messiah seed was going to come through Isaac. It was not to come through Ishmael. Now, of course, spiritually today, we have this same problem that is with us. We have it physically. We have it in the Middle East with Israel, with the Arabs, Palestine. We also have it in the church today. As there are two groups out in the Middle East, there are two groups in Christendom today. And we are in the times of woes. We're in the times of Jacob's troubles. They are not agreeing. They're not getting on. And God has had to separate. And the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, has been separating the Ishmael and the Isaac of today. Those who are of the Spirit, who worship God in spirit and in truth, who allow the Holy Spirit to purge of unbelief, hardness of heart, and others who don't willingly want it, rebel against it. So we see these two conflicts taking place. You begin to see what's happening? So we have it going on in the Middle East. And so what is happening is Israel's being restored, ready to receive her Messiah. So we see the Ishmael fighting against it for restoration. For they want to remain religious. They want to try and do it in their own strength and in their own flesh. But Israel can only be restored by the Spirit of God, not by the work of the flesh. And so the same with the church, the true overcoming church, the called out church. She will be adorned, made ready as a bride by the work of the Spirit. And the religious, the Ishmael, is trying to do it in the flesh. And it never will be. Can you see the contrast taking place? Turn with me now, remembering this in mind, keeping this in mind. Galatians 4 verse 22. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 22. As we go from 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic, for those are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. But he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir of the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. What did the Holy Spirit have to do? The outpouring of the Spirit, beginning to baptize believers in the Spirit, to bring the church out of bondage under the law, to bring her back into freedom. And that is the work the Holy Spirit has been doing. For whom the Son shall make free, you are free indeed, as the Scriptures tell you. And that is why you have been brought out of religion, out of denomination, out of man-made systems, religion of man, to come again back under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may be made free. And he's doing this by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. And he's also delivering us, setting us free, purging us of sin, unbelief. And where does he do it? In the wilderness, as I said at the beginning. But many believers who profess Christ have been resisting this deeper life teaching. But they will have to go through this in the great tribulation, those who are left under Antichrist. And that is the thing. But those who apply wisdom with what they hear now, for they hear what the Spirit is saying now to the church, apply that wisdom and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to deal with sin, unbelief in their lives. It's a calling away, it's a separation. And so we see these conflicts taking place. We see, you know, in Christendom today, sadly, we see two camps. We see the camp of Isaac and we see the camp of Ishmael. And those who are of above will be led by the Spirit, will be drawn out from bondage, will go into the wilderness now where they are purged, where they're tried, where they're tested, where your faith will be tested. Yes, you will go through trials, testings, delays of faith. That is where God is perfecting the bride. Those who wish to remain in the Ishmael camp, there will still be strife, immaturity. They will not go on to deeper things. They are not seeing the overall message, the overall vision that God has for the world. The only vision that churches see today is just evangelism. And it is bigger than that. Much bigger. Of course, evangelism is important. Don't get me wrong. But evangelism too often is brought down to a minister, to a church. Come and join this. Join this organization. Evangelism today is not seeing the preaching of the kingdom of God. It's far bigger. It's a bigger picture. Evangelism doesn't see that we're in the time of restoration, where God is restoring back His divine order, His headship, His presence back into the body of Christ. You still see many people coming back under the headship of a man. That is why shepherdship is so strong in charismatic. And shepherdship very often is control. The people are still controlled by leadership. Now, of course, there is a divine order that God sets in the church. Don't get me wrong. For God has set the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for the maturing, perfecting of the saints. But equally, it says you are not to lord it over the flock, to control them. As they do not mature, they do not grow up in the faith. And that is the big problem. And that is why you see in so many of these churches, these big meetings and so forth, people going up the altar for the same old problems, time in and time out. Never really overcoming. Never dealing with sin and those things. Because you have to be given the meat of the word to start to overcome. I know, because I've been to it. I've come out of it. I've seen it. It used to cause me trouble as a minister, seeing the same people going up for the same problems, the same prayers over them, year after year after year. I thought, Lord, surely I'm not safe for this. Where is the God of heaven who truly does deliver and set the captives free? And the point is, it's not to be found really in the preaching, the teaching. People still want their ears tickled. They still want to know that God loves them and they feel good and have all the goosey bumps. And you start to preach on judgment, you start to preach on sin, that God is against it, He hates it, you soon find you empty your churches. But what is God looking for? Quantity or quality? We are going to find right in the midst of the churches the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. There will come separation. And what is going to do it? Judgment. Because God says judgment begins first in the house of God. We are right on the threshold of seeing churches being judged throughout the world. Do you hear that preached? Do you hear preachers getting God's people ready? No. All it is just revival, revival. God isn't going to revive what is corrupt. God does not put new wine into old wineskins. And the trouble is we feel safe with those old wineskins. We don't like those new wineskins. Why? Because it means God, like Israel, has to call us out of Babylon, those places where we feel safe, and out into the wilderness to make true sacrifice, to really meet God. That is where you're going to find Him. If you really mean business with God, it is out in the wilderness. That is where He's to be found. Because that's where He can deal with us. He must purge the sons of Levi. That is the message of the hour. That is the message. I know I've come on strong with that. Now, I want to say on the other side before I move further, that God will provide for that. God knows how painful that is. God knows what is exposed out of our hearts when He begins to meet with us with fire. But He provides. He's provided through the Holy Spirit. He's provided through His mercy, His grace. God isn't going to call us out to destroy us. It's not to destroy us. It's to break us down, to rebuild us in Christ Jesus. That's what He's to do. So it means that the flesh, the old self, is dealt with. But praise God, that's what the new birth is all about. That's what Christianity is about. It's about a new creation in Christ. Who wants the old ways? Who wants the old corruption? You see, that is why God wants true worship, holy worship. He wants a congregation that come before Him with clean hands and a pure heart. Not this bondage, this corruption, this worldliness that is so apparent and seen today in the church. And yet evangelism thinks that that is what people want. But my experience tells me of those who come out of corruption, those who come out of broken homes, the alcoholics, the drug addicts, you name it, whatever, they want to get us far away from all of that. Yet they're so reminded still of their old life and way in a lot of these churches still, because there's no holiness in them. Little wonder we've got the problems that we have. All we are worried about is today is how many we can get in our churches. And we'll do any form of entertaining to just do it. But God is against that. Jesus was left with 12, and even one of them betrayed him. And at the hour of his betrayal, when he went to the cross, not one followed him. Now, was Jesus into numbers? I think not. But he was into quality and the mercy of God saved them. The mercy of God brought that 11 back. And that's what he'll do with you. There are times when you feel like betraying the Lord. There are times when you feel you've come to the end of yourself or God is exposed. Lord, I'll follow you. I'll go wherever. I'll die for you and so forth. We've all said it. And then God puts us to the test. We run a mile. And you're brought back because God's mercy and grace is upon you. And that's what I'm trying to say to you. God will provide for these conditions. God provides for a hard message. A message of holiness that is so against the flesh in the natural. But God says, I provide for that. All he wants of us is simply to settle it and say, Lord, do with me what you will. I walk the way of the cross. I can't do this, but you can do it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All he asks for is that you are willing, you are available, you present yourself a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and the Holy Spirit says, I'll do the rest. Lord, how am I going to die to self? How am I going to be purged of sin, whatever? God says, don't worry about that. I'll do that. I'll do it. How did the thieves and Jesus, how were they put to the cross? Man did it. And the powers of darkness will put you to the cross. You don't have to work on it. And as the cross does its work, bringing that death for relief, what is that death doing? It's releasing you, bringing you to the end of yourself, your strength, your intellect, your good ideas, your thinking, whatever. It brings you to the end of self. That the resurrection of Christ takes over. That's what it does. That's what it's doing. Now, the Ishmael church doesn't at the moment like that. It strives against it. It wars against it. It will fight against it. That is the nature of Ishmael. Ishmael wants the law. But as I read to you in Galatians, they don't actually hear what the law is saying for the law to bring them to grace. They don't want that grace. They can't hear that grace. You know why they can't hear it? Because they're in unbelief. And that unbelief has to be purged. But you see, we've heard the law and we've been under the law. And we've seen what the law does. The law can't save us. The law condemns us. The law is totally against us, but the law, we've found as we've looked at it, we've found in the law that grace has been provided. And it's through Jesus, and that's the good news of the gospel. And so, as we hold on to that, there's the provision. No longer does the law condemn us anymore, but it's good news. Why? Because we are of the promise. And the promise is that there will come the overcomers. The man-child is to come forth. She is to rule and reign. We're just in a waiting process at the moment. Just like Abraham, waiting for his son, for the promise. Lord, you promised. You said that there would be an heir. We've all received the promise. But God is going to bring it. The promise will come. Even though it tarries, it delays, yet wait for it, it will come. The prophet says. So as I bring this now to its conclusion, we see the mother church is left, but she must be purged of her unbelief. Israel rejected its man-child, its call to overcome, its call to sonship. And she rejected Christ, her Messiah, and the church is doing exactly the same today. Talk about history repeating itself. As Israel in the wilderness rejected the promised land, Israel rejected her call to sonship, the man-child, through rejecting Messiah. So today we see they still reject, they reject the call to overcome, the deeper life teaching. But there is a remnant who will receive the man-child. Just as Israel forsook Messiah, Jesus, who was bringing that man-child, that overcomers, maturity. So we have seen Jesus and we've said, yes, we'll have it. I'll take it. I'll go for it. And that's why when Israel rejected Messiah, Messiah turned and began to show that anyone who believes, and the Gentiles, and receives me, and receives my teaching, my word, will rule and reign with me. You can see God's plan. God's plan. But until then, we are now in the situation of Isaac and Ishmael fighting one another. And what does God require of us? To turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile, to take on the burdens, to take on the insults of Ishmael, to die to it. Because we are of another spirit. We are of above, another promise. That's why you don't have to come down to that level. You don't have to partake of all that strife, corruption. You weren't saved for that. You are of a different calibre. That's why I say when people argue and in churches and all these things that go on, I don't get involved. It's their problem. God hasn't saved me for all that rubbish. That's not what I expect out of salvation, out of this walk. I'm saved for something far greater and better. In other words, we haven't got time for it. Haven't got time for it. I've got enough what God's showing in my walk day by day. I don't want to take on any other burdens, any other problems. Let Ishmael sort themselves out. That's why we don't get involved in these things. We don't get involved in political things and so forth. It's strife. God's saved us, set us apart from that. Wars, rumours of wars, let them get on with it. Doesn't matter what they call us, what they say. You see, you're of another kingdom. And so Israel rejected a Messiah, man-child, the Christ. And the church is doing exactly the same. But Israel must be purged. The church left must be purged. And so what message do we say to those? They've got to be purged. And the warning is there. And we've heard that warning, and something Linus says, Lord, I don't want to go through that. And the Lord says, good, you don't have to go through it. We'll go through it now. We'll start working now. But listen to what Zechariah says, chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in the midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So there you are. God has a remnant. The remnant will not be cut off from the city. What is Antichrist trying to do? He's trying to take the remnant out of the city of Jerusalem. Because if he can take them out there, he's got it. He's taken over the holies of holies. The place where God will dwell. But God says, you're not going to. I've got a remnant there. I've preserved them and I'm going to keep them there. And the rebels will be purged. Will go through martyrdom. And who's going to try and take them out? Ishmael. Because Ishmael says, I belong there. I'm the eldest. And all inheritance goes to the elder. And God says, well, I've broken all that. It's not. It's going to go to the younger. To the promise. To the Isaac. And Ishmael says, that's not fair. And God says, yes, it is. The ground is level for all at the foot of the cross. And if you want to partake of blessing, then be born again. That's the message. That is his message. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. He says here, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierce. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieves for him as one grieves for the firstborn. And there'll be great mourning at that day. So Israel, although it's exciting what's happening, yet it's fearful also. But what does God say for that remnant that he's going to preserve to Israel? He says, on that day, I will pour my spirit of grace and supplication. And it will be that grace, supplication that will preserve them and stop them leaving Jerusalem. They will stay. Because that remnant will stay, that is why God will honour that and he will come back and preserve that remnant from being destroyed from the Antichrist. And all the world will see the Messiah coming with the saints, the overcomers, you with him to rule and reign on the earth. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? It really is. It's worth staying in on this. And you know that this is all happening. You can see it. You see it in the news, you hear it, you can see it around you. God's opening our eyes to show us. You are so blessed to be seeing this, my friends. You really are. Most are in darkness to this. They're not seeing this. It all begins to make sense with what God's doing, why you're going through what you're going through, why God's doing what he's doing with the church and so forth. I don't know anything else that fits in with this. But the church, the woman, is going to go through the great tribulation. Let's make no bones about it. I will read verse 13 again. Verse 13 of Revelation 12. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the man child. So God still loves the church, the woman. But sadly, she's Laodicean. And her eyes must be open. He's challenged the woman for years to buy that eye salve to have her eyes open, but she doesn't want to. Only a remnant of few said, yes, I'll buy it. It's worth it to see more. And they are the man-child, the overcomers. But God has had to separate. Where's the separation? He places her into the womb. The church has to be reborn again to take that position in the heavenlies for warfare. And she will soon be in that place, and Satan loses that dominion. And he will have to be cast down. And so the snatching away, the next great event of the man-child being called away, the next event now is Satan being cast to the earth. And the final thing he has left, the only thing he can do after that, he has to enter into a human vessel to deceive the world as the Antichrist, the leader, the false Messiah. Not far away. Not far away. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we need to hear this. I need to hear it. We need to keep preaching it. There's no time to become sleepy, resting on our laurels. Well, tomorrow will look after itself. A sort of cavalier attitude. Lord, we can't have that. As you've clearly said this morning, we are rapidly approaching to the day of the Lord. We are rapidly approaching to when you call us up. And all these events will start to be unfolded. But Lord, we are at the present time in the strife And it's both physical and spiritual. We are seeing the spiritual, the physical, I should say first, taking place in the Middle East, taking place in Christendom, in the church, the Isaac and the Ishmael, which can't get on, for one wants to walk by faith, by grace, the other still wants to walk in law and bondage. We see that also taking place in the Middle East, where the Ishmael is wanting to drive out the Isaac, to destroy. But we also see the spiritual, and we see in the spiritual, Father, that there is warfare taking place, and the Isaac must have dominion, must be head. And we see that headship is being restored, and finally will be restored as Antichrist, who is doing all this devilish, deceiving work, is finally cast out, that we have our rightful place again in Christ. And so, Lord, we will see that the Ishmael that is left will be purged, because as Ishmael comes from the Abrahamic covenant, from that seed, the mercy and grace of God will save a remnant from the woman, and that is your mercy. But she must be purged. She must go through the great tribulation. And so, Lord, we thank you these events are taking place. Thank you, Father, above all, you've opened our eyes that we may see this. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, bless us, preserve us, keep us. Keep us faithful to the high calling, whatever we're going through, whatever our trial, however we feel, whatever the devil's saying, whether we're being rejected, persecuted, lied, gossip, whatever, Lord. Father, we are of another kingdom. We are of another age. We do not belong to any of this. We are from above. We have been born free. For whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
They go.